God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. It is my privilege to be with you, the listener to our Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. It is terribly hypocritical to talk about the danger of COVID-19, the necessity of lockdowns, the penalizing of pastors who rightfully say that the government has no right to close churches while allowing other establishments to stay open, and then to have an open border. An Epoch Times report from March the 3rd, 2021, states that 108 illegal immigrants that were released by the Border Patrol in Texas tested positive for COVID-19. That represents about 6.3% of the total undocumented migrants who were rapidly tested at the Brownsville bus station. The city of Brownsville, Texas, continues to follow all guidelines provided by the CDC and Department of State Health Services for COVID-19. The migrants who test positive at the B Metro facility are advised of quarantine procedures and are asked to socially distance. Some of the illegal immigrants that tested positive said they have plans to go to New Jersey, Maryland, and North Carolina. Now, let me ask you a question, dear listener. If I say that the population of the United States needs to be protected by having strict border controls, does that mean I'm a racist and hate Hispanics? Or does that mean that I believe that the federal government has a duty to protect Americans from an invasion of undocumented individuals who may have a serious health condition? There are some, unfortunately, who like to play the race card. Friends, it's not about race, racism, white supremacy, and all the silly charges that the woke crowd is leveling at us. It's about border integrity and the survival of America. We will not be silenced. Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity is a new book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Dr. Lutzer is back with us. And before we begin, I want to read the dedication. It's tremendous. Quote, "I dedicate this book to those who seek to stand for the truth and still be loving, to those who are willing to be identified with the cross of Christ despite the possible vitriol and consider it a badge of honor. I dedicate this book to all who are convinced that how we are perceived on earth is not as important as how we are perceived in heaven. I dedicate this book to all who believe that the day of casual commitment to the gospel must come to an end." Close quotes. Dr. Lutzer, really great having you back on the show. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you again, Larry.
Well, there's several places we could go and things we could talk about, but how about the sexualization of children? School curricula and popular culture are leading our children into sexual confusion and warped ideas of personal identity. That's a serious issue.
It really is, and that's why I included a chapter entitled "The Sexualization of Children." And I begin that chapter by reminding people that the cell phone in your teenager's hand will do more to inform his or her view of the world than an hour of church or an hour of Bible study. And we need to recognize as parents we are fighting this battle on multiple fronts. You know, Hitler once said that parents should clothe their children, they should feed them, but he says their hearts belong to the Reich. And what we need to do is to recognize that that's the kind of battle we are in, where parents clothe their children, take care of them, but the heart of the child belongs to the world. And that's where our battle is. But back to the issue that you mentioned, curriculum. We must recognize that the curriculum here in Illinois, for example, a year ago that was instituted, is basically pornography for fourth graders. The whole trans revolution is destroying our young people. And remember, that is intentional. In the first show that I was with you, we talked about the need for Marxism to break up the family, because the idea is that rootless children, children who are not under their parents' authority or under the authority of the church, are more easily led. So what you have is this trans movement. And, you know, teenagers oftentimes have some struggles as to who they really are and go through this identity thing. So they begin to think, you know, maybe I am a girl. I was born Bert, but maybe I should now be called Bertha. And I can be Bert at home and Bertha at school because I am the one who determines who I am. This, of course, is people shaking their fist in God's face. Now, of course, there might be some people, genuinely, who struggle with their identity, men who feel that they should have been women or whatever, but that is because of their confusion. In this debate, biology really solves the problem. In fact, I just read an article recently by some researchers who say that there are only two genders, there is no spectrum. There is a lot of confusion. So absurdity reigns. I know of a situation in which a girl said, I'm a fuzzy. And somebody said, what's a fuzzy? And she said, I am a cat. Well, you can't argue with her because the whole society says that you are whoever you identify with. And we know, of course, that our president signed an executive order that allows biological men to participate in sports with women as long as they identify as female. Well, you know, the question I'd like to ask is this. You know, if you have a daughter, would you like her to be in the same locker room as a biological man who identifies as a woman in showers and in, you know, all the dressing and the undressing that goes on in these locker rooms? Would you really like that? Now, here's the point. The agenda, once again, is the destruction of all decency. And as I mentioned, it's absurd, but we live in an era in which absurdity does not mean anything. It is no argument against anything. And these dear children are so confused, intentionally confused, that they don't know where to turn. Now, in that chapter, Larry, I also point out, where are we going? Because remember, without God in our lives, without God in our lives, we can say no to nothing. Well, guess what? There are articles being written justifying pedophilia. After all, you know, if we are going to say that there are no creation norms, you deny natural law even, you're free to do anything. One more thing about the exaltation of the self, the whole idea of the triumph of the self. Idolatry is exalting yourself above God. And remember this, all idols eventually disappoint and break the hearts of their worshipers. That's why all of this is going to confusion that will be passed on through our families to others, etc.
Well, I think the peril, the danger that children are in today can be dealt with many times in youth groups. But as I look at a lot of denominational youth literature, and I won't get specific, but it seems to me that youth groups are really not dealing with the issues that youth need to deal with in a very frank way. And I think they skirt a lot of issues, and sometimes they think, well, this is too controversial. Well, if it's true, and if it's going to preserve a young man or a young woman from falling off the edge, so to speak, and denying the fact that God has built borders of modesty, I think we really need to, and parents, need to speak to pastors and need to speak to youth leaders. Youth leaders, youth pastors are so important today. They're not just somebody to entertain the kids and take them out for ice cream. I mean, that's a part of it, of course. We all like pizza. But there needs to be an emphasis on how to deal with this and to encourage boys and girls to realize that there are two genders. God made them male and female.
Yes, and what we need to do is to recognize this regarding the family. I quote in my book a man who I think is an atheist. He said his father was a communist, so it doesn't come from a Christian point of view. But he's a doctor. And he says, show me a community in which there is 70% of children are born out of wedlock, and there are no fathers in the home, and I will show you a community in which there's going to be drugs and alcoholism and violence and all kinds of crime. He said that the family is the key to sanity and to raise children that walk decently. So that's where we're at, and yet people are committed to the destruction of the family.
As I look at public schools, now Oklahoma is a pretty conservative state, and I thank the Lord for that, but some of the things in the curriculum really trouble me. And I've wondered what, I know you've been a pastor, I think, what, 36 years at Moody Memorial Church? What are parents to do? Can we trust our kids to the public schools?
I don't think so. Now, to those who are listening and they can't have homeschooling or it's unrealistic to send it to a faith-based school, the best they can do when that child comes home is to spend time, find out what they were taught, and then parents have to reteach them and to help them to shed the indoctrination. So that's really where we're at. We cannot throw our children to wolves. You can't put lambs in the midst of wolves. And parents have to be responsible for their children. And Hitler was right when he said that he who controls the youth controls the future.
Well, I pastored a church in rural Oklahoma for about 11 years, and we had three good Christian ladies who were school teachers, public school teachers. And I'm sure they had a tremendously positive influence. But the point I made to them, and even to parents, because I looked at the textbooks, the point I made is these textbooks were not written for our little rural community, you know, where everybody, we have family values and so forth. The textbooks are written for Dallas, for New York City, for Los Angeles, and that's what the kids in your class are being overwhelmed with. So, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle and you're going backwards. You're not accomplishing anything at all. And I think that's a real issue. I know sometimes parents say, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, so on and so forth. But the suggestion I think that you make is very, very well taken. Well, Dr. Lutzer, before we run out of time, I want to jump to your last chapter, Wake Up, Strengthen What Remains. And of course, America is still America. I'm glad I live in America. I've traveled around the world and I would be in no other place than America. So there is much good that remains, isn't there? And we need to strengthen what remains.
Exactly. And I know that we had to skip some chapters in my book, my chapter on socialism. We'll have to leave that for another time. I do make the statement that I wanted to throw in, why is it that mice die in mouse traps? Well, the answer is because they don't understand why the cheese is free. But having said that, let's go to the last chapter, Strengthen What Remains. Those are the words of Jesus to the church at Sardis. He's writing to a church that bought into the culture. They no longer saw the world as an enemy. And he says, you have a name that you're alive, but you're actually dead. And in that chapter, what I do is I outline what I think Jesus might say to the American church today if he were to write a letter to us. And there I talk about the purity of the gospel over against social justice theories, how we are buying into our sexualized culture. But here's where I want to leave your listeners today, Larry. In that very same letter, Jesus said, but there are still some of you in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So my challenge to all who are listening is this. Even if your church isn't what you think it should be, even if your church is avoiding the issues or buying into the culture, can I challenge you as an individual to make sure that you do not soil your garments, that you are faithful wherever God planted you, and that you will be a credit to God no matter how much opposition you receive, the death of your reputation, the death of your relationships, if that's necessary, stand for Christ no matter what.
Well, that's so important. And I happen to believe that there are still a lot of good Christians in America, and I know some. I know a lot of churches are filled with fluff and so on and so forth, but we have some really great listeners. The little church I pastor, and you know it's a Trinity Chinese Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, what I love about true believers and about church life where there are true believers is there's a power there. It's not so much numbers, but the power of the gospel, the love for lost people, the love for the community, that is still in many churches in America. And I know some people ask me, well, where should I go to church? It's hard for me to tell. But there is much good in our land. And I am so delighted to see the many conservative, pro-life Christian women in Congress today. What a great blessing they are to our nation.
They really are. And we have to recognize that the battle we are in has to be fought on multiple fronts. On the one hand, what we can do is to make sure that we elect good representatives to Washington. I remember a congressman saying to me, you expect good legislation to come out of Washington, but you will not help those, you know, who are running for office, who are Christians and so forth. Now, I never endorse a political candidate, but I always speak to the issues, and I encourage those in Congress who are there today taking a stand for Christ. So that's one way we can fight the battle. The other is for our churches, and that the churches will be strengthened, as Jesus said, strengthen what remains. There are still many believers who can be strengthened and encouraged and stand against the culture, take the consequences, say with Luther, I will not recant, here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, so help me God.
Amen. Well, Dr. Lucier, thank you so much for being on our show 3 days in a row. It's been a great privilege to visit with you, and I know our listening audience has been blessed.
Thanks, Larry, and God bless.
Matthew, please come to the mic and share with our listeners our special offer. This is something that they will want to have.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled, We Will Not Be Silenced. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. And you can order this much-needed book on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new book by Alicia Illion titled Chasing Perfect. This book will help you learn what it means to look beyond each day's diversions and live in surrender to the Savior. You can have a copy for a gift of $18. Better yet, get both books, We Will Not Be Silenced, and Chasing Perfect, for a gift of $32. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
We seem to be living in an age of apprehension, especially over the unknown. There seems to be so many unknowns that we are facing. It is pretty upsetting, isn't it? But we can take comfort in the fact that the Apostle Paul faced apprehension over the unknown. In Acts 20, verse 22 through 24, we read, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Just think of a very familiar scene. A hospital lobby, soft couches, and National Geographic magazines. A uniformed volunteer at the desk to look up patients' room numbers. Strange smells. Doctors rushing down the hallway, their sneakers squeaking on the polished floor. A surgeon in green garb appears, bearing news to a waiting family. Lips tighten and heads shake. Tears flow. Everyone stares at the floor. The surgeon leaves. Someone says, I didn't know that cancer was so advanced.
People are apprehensive in other settings as well. At the airport, as a father hugs his son who is leaving for a tour of duty overseas. In a study hall, as a high school student hoping to get a college scholarship studies hard so he'll get a good grade. In a stadium locker room, as a team does a few preliminary stretches before a big basketball game. People are apprehensive. It is a natural feeling. And it is certainly natural to America. It is as American as apple pie and a Ford pickup.
Paul was apprehensive. We have just read from Acts 20. But I want you to notice what he said in verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had a purpose and a cause, and he said, none of these things move me. What? Was the man crazy? No, he was just aware of God's call on his life. That's a key in the Christian life.
Every one of us, not just the Apostle Paul, can say the same thing. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember He has a purpose and a plan for you. Rejoice that there are some things in your life that make you apprehensive. If you are living in the center of the will of God, there will be many challenges that you will face. Paul knew that. I know that. And we should all know that. But none of these things move me, said the Apostle Paul. Thank God for challenges and for purpose. Be faithful and obedient, and you will overcome all those challenges. Psalm 22, verse 3, tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. We have so much to be thankful for. It has been a very challenging winter, but God has been faithful. Here now is Mimi Davis with her praise report.
We at Southwest Radio Church have so many things to be thankful for. This week, I am thankful for our new email delivery system. At Southwest Radio Church, we do not just want hearers of the Word, we want to produce doers of the Word. We do not want people to just listen to us on the radio. We want you to feel that you are part of our family. This email system will allow us to deliver our monthly newsletters with the touch of a button. The Prophetic Observer will be delivered right to your email address. This will be a blessing to us and to you. We will not have to pay postage to send out thousands of these monthly publications. You will be able to get these newsletters in seconds instead of days. You will be getting these newsletters digitally, so you can now forward these great insights to friends and family. It will allow us to let you know the latest happenings at Southwest Radio Church, like our conferences, virtual conferences, tours, special events, special guests, and special holiday offers. We understand that people get tons of emails, and it can be a little annoying sometimes. Our promise to you is that you will receive one email a month unless we send you a notice of something important happening at Southwest Radio Church. If you would like to sign up for our free, yes, free, monthly Prophetic Observer, just go to swrc.com and register your email address. That's all you have to do. I'm Mimi Davis, and this has been your weekly praise report.
Do you find it hard to live your convictions against a growing tide of hostility against Christianity? Do non-believers have legitimate concerns about racism, sexism, and poverty? Find the answers when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. By email, address it to info@swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Billy Crone on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.